Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. You're listening to What to Read Next podcast, episode 43. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the show, guys. So happy to have you back. Today, we have an author interview with Susan Stoker. Susan has written countless of books. She writes romance genre. Her books are about men in the military and armed forces. Yep, she writes about uniformed men. Last April, I read 8 of her books in a few short weeks. I love the romantic suspense, the action, the happily ever after, and the close-knit community that it created. In this interview, Susan shares about writing process, what books she reads, and what she recommends you to read next. I hope you enjoy this interview. Let's get to it. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you, Laura. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my gosh. What's to tell? I wasn't always a writer. I used to work at a university, and I was a registrar, and I had 9 employees and dealt with parents and students all day. But I've always been a reader. I've always read romance, and I've always been able to write well, write fast. And so I'd read a book and I'd get inspired, and I'd write a little scene on my computer and things like that. And one thing led to another. And now here I am publishing my own stories. That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty amazing. I used to work in a university setting too. That was my career. So it's funny.
So yeah, you know how higher education works, dealing with all the helicopter parents and everybody complaining and stuff. So it's much nicer to live inside my own head now.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's a whole different world. You can have conflict and then you can resolve the conflict. So that's awesome. So now let's talk about your writing style. Do you share your book along the way or you wait till it's complete for others to read?
I don't. I know, you know, so a lot of people have beta readers and they'll send it off and they'll have people critiquing it as they write. I pretty much don't. I might get some help with brainstorming about what am I going to do and what do we want the story to go and how is it going to look like? Because I am not a plotter. I'm a pamster for the most part. So I know the general story and I know what the drama is going to be at 85%. And then I write to the drama when I write. But I don't have any betas. So after I write the story, it usually sits for a while because I do write ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And then I reread it and send it to my editor. And I rely on my editor to tell me where I'm smoking crack and where it's just not working and how to fix it. So far, that seems to be working pretty well.
I love it. And I love your book. So it's working really well.
Oh, thank you.
So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of ideas, inspirations, characters? Do you keep an outline or do you have like a character book?
You know, I have this notebook that when I first started that I would use, and I would have one page for each story because I do write series. So I'd write the characters' names and the side characters and things like that. And then, you know, along the way, if someone got pregnant or if someone got married, I write that in there. That started getting cumbersome. So now I use an Excel spreadsheet. But I forget a lot. Like I forget what color eyes they have. And because I see them in my head as this imaginary figure. So I don't really care so much about that stuff. But of course, my editor does. And so she's like, well, his eyes were brown in the last book. I'm like, dang it, I forgot to add that to my spreadsheet. So I have a spreadsheet, but I'm not very good at keeping it up. And then, people ask me questions like, well, are they married? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Let me go look because I don't remember that. I'm terrible at memory. So yeah, I probably should do a better job than I do at trying to keep that all straight. But again, I rely on my editor to do that. Here's a funny story. In one of my last books, I was like, huh. And I asked my editor, I'm like, how pregnant is Cassie? And she wrote back and she goes, according to my notes, about 9.5 months. And I was like, oh, dang it. I guess I'm going to have her to have this baby, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
Timelines and details are not my friend. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of need them for your series.
Yeah, because they all stack on top of each other. Yep.
Yeah, that's true. So what is it like to write romance scenes? What is it like for that process? Is it difficult? Is it easy to do? Is it just
Well,
kind of like
I mean, I don't have a ton, by romance scenes, if you're talking about sex in general, I don't have a ton of my sex in books. I mean, they do have sex. Generally, there's a chapter of sex. And I tell people who email me and complain that there's too much sex in my book that, just skip that chapter. That's fine. My dad, he's passed away now, but he always told me that he would skip those chapters. And I thought that was funny. But yeah, I try to keep it different and new, but sometimes that's hard because there's only so many ways you can make love, and I don't write erotica, so they're not like hanging from the ceiling or anything. So yeah, I just kind of think of what is sexy, what is interesting, what do I think I might want to hear. I mean, which is completely different because in the moment, if people said half the things that people said in romance books, it would totally kill the mood. But yeah, I guess it's in fantasy, it's all good.
That's true. Do you worry what other people think about you, what you're writing, or like fans, family?
Not really, because again, I don't write super sexy erotica. But both my parents read my books. My dad definitely did, and if my dad can read them, then they're pretty safe. Even if he skipped the sex scenes. But yeah, my mom reads them, and we don't discuss them. But she reads them and says she enjoys them. She might be lying, but yeah.
That's good. That's awesome. So now let's talk about your books. What's your favorite character you've written so far?
Oh, that's such a mean question.
I know.
Favorite character. That's so hard because they all kind of come from my imagination and my fantasies and what you think you might do in a situation and what you might want other people to do in a situation. I really like the way Chief from Shelter for Sophie turned out. He was my Native American character. I wasn't really sure where I was going with him and what I was going to do, but in the end, it all kind of worked out perfectly with the Skinwalker thing and just everything about it. I was like, wow, this turned out really neat. But I do have to admit that I have a special place in my heart for Caroline. That book was my first one that I self-published, and it was most written on my one, on my computer that I would write when I was bored at work. I would write my little stories, and I think there's a Caroline in all of us. She felt that she was invisible and no one ever saw her, and that she was just kind of going through her life, doing her thing, and that was that. And so I think there's a little bit of Caroline in all of us that we really wish sometimes people saw us more or better.
Yeah, that's so true. So let's talk about your books. You write series, which I love because there's multiple books to bend on. But you write mainly like military, law enforcement. What inspired you to get into this genre within romance?
I've always been a sucker for a man in uniform. I mean, there's just something about a man in uniform, whether it's a police uniform, whether it's the sheriff's department, whether it's fire, whether it's army, navy, whatever it is. I mean, there's just something about it. And the guy could be the biggest jerk, but when you first look at him in a uniform, you're like, oh yeah. So I think originally that's what kind of got me going. And I suppose you could say that's why I started dating my husband. But because he was in the army when we first met. But yeah, so that's probably what inspired me. Not necessarily people I met that were cops or that were in the army, but just the concept in general, the outer trappings of it, I suppose, and what they stand for. They stand for protection and keeping people safe and things like that, which appeal.
Yeah, and it does match just really well with your series when it's like the values are they're in alignment with the series when you talk about. So it's fun.
Well, and I like the camaraderie too. It's a group of guys that are together, that they're either cops or firefighters or military, and they work together and they save each other's lives. And so of course the women they find kind of have that same sort of connection as well, which I like.
Yeah, I love it. I love the connection, the family connection. Even though they work together, they feel like family.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. So now let's talk about books that influence your writing. What type of books do you read, and do they influence your writing, and if so, what way?
Oh gosh, you know, as I said, I've been reading romance forever, since I was 12, 13 years old. I go to the library, and I first started out with all those Regency books. Now, of course, I read the Sweet Valley Highs and things like that, but the Regency was my crack. I would get those by the handfuls and read them. And those at the time, they had no sex in them. So they were super all about the connection between the characters and things like that. So I think that influenced me in a way is creating that connection between two characters. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of external angst in mind, like between the characters. I mean, there's external things that happen to the characters, but there's not a lot of fighting. Yeah. There's not a lot of I hate you and walking out and things like that. So I guess just growing up and reading that probably influenced me. But honestly, I read all romance. I don't read a lot of non-romance books. I'm not much of a mystery or a thriller or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love me a good romance. It doesn't matter if it's historical or paranormal or medieval or contemporary or whatever it is. As long as there's a nice, satisfying, happily ever after at the end, I'm good.
I love it. Who's your favorite author?
Oh, gosh. Honestly, I don't really have a favorite. I mean, because I, as I said, I read a lot.
Yeah.
I love people that write the super possessive alpha heroes.
Yeah.
So Kristen Ashley, of course, comes to mind. But even people like Brynn Asher or Layla Frost or some of the newer authors, Aurora Rose Reynolds, anyone that can write a hero that is not a jerk. I don't like alpha holes.
Yeah.
Is the term for them now. I mean, they have to be good guys. So if they work, even if they're in a motorcycle club, I read those. As long as they're not out, you know, doing everything that moves and they're good guys, I love reading it. So yeah, there's a ton. It's hard to narrow it down and say, this is my one favorite. It depends on the week. Depends on what books are out.
I know. That's awesome. What's the last book you read?
The last book I read. You're going to ask me this hard question. All right, hold on. I'm going to open my Kindle. I finished Cherise Sinclair's. Now, she does write erotica, but I just finished her latest, and it was really good. Cynthia Sachs. She has a paranormal series, and I just read her Dark Fire. Is that what it's called? Hold on. Of course, my Kindle's not cooperating. So I read that one, and I did read Brynn Asher has one coming out in my Special Forces world where she puts my characters in her book.
Ooh.
And that one comes out on Tuesday. So yeah, so I got to read an arc of hers, and it was amazing because I had a jungle rescue in it, and I'm, of course, a sucker for a good jungle rescue. Let's see. Which ones of these have I read? Oh, and I actually reread Brynn Asher's Carpino series. I suppose that's not fair because that's a reread. But yeah, so I mean, I reread a lot. The ones that I like, I keep. And then I'm like, I need a good alpha guy. Who am I going to read? And I go back and reread them. So
I love it. Yeah, I'm a rereader too. So
when you find something good, sometimes you don't want to think too hard. You just want to read something that you know you already love. So, yep.
Yeah. So can you give us a sneak peek of any upcoming work that you have for our audience? Any new books that are coming out?
Oh, gosh. So Shelter for Blythe just came out recently. And, of course, that one had a teaser in the back for Calder and Hope. And Calder is the ME, the medical examiner. And so he's in uniform. But, yeah, I mean, it's a different kind of uniform. But, yeah, so his is a little different because Hope has been lost, so to speak, and everyone's been looking for her and her son. And in the very end of Blythe, they find her. And so that's where Hope picks up. And I didn't want to write another story about a homeless character because Blythe was homeless. So in this book, Hope has gotten a job and she's working and she's not living on the street. She's not exactly living the high life, but she's not on the streets anymore. So then Calder has to deal with that and deal with the situation with the son and all of that. So that one's coming up. And then Mary of Truck and Mary in my Delta Force series, it's the almost last book in that series. It is the last, but there's kind of a bonus book that'll be coming out next year. But That one is a monster. It's 107,000 words, which is way longer than anything I've written. Has 27 pages of epilogue because I had to, you know, get everybody in there.
Yeah.
I know that some people aren't very happy with Mary because throughout the series, she's been pretty brash. She says what she means and doesn't hide her feelings. And things between her and Truck have been weird, to say the least.
Yes.
So I'm kind of scared to see what everyone thinks of their story, but I'm kind of excited too. And that one's October, so everyone has to wait till October. Oh, and then one more. So in August, I'm starting a new series, The Mountain Mercenaries.
Ooh.
And that one starts out with an ocean rescue. I think I like ocean rescues just as much as jungle rescues. That was a fun scene to write, except my editor had to tell me, she was like, yeah, she'd be dead if she was in the ocean that long. I'm like, dang it. Because of course she's in the Pacific. She's not in the Atlantic, right? So it's cold over there. And I was like, dang it, she's not in the Caribbean in the warm waters. So I had to tweak that a little bit to make it so she didn't die in the first 20 pages. But yeah. it's fun. It's fun to write these scenes where people get in trouble. These women get in trouble, and even though they need to be rescued, they're not crying in a corner. And I think that's my thing is we can be perfectly strong women. We can be perfectly competent to live on our own, change our own tires, change our own light bulbs, things like that. But at the same time, sometimes we get into situations where it might be nice to have somebody come and give us a hand. So that's what I like to write. And most of my stories have that sort of theme where, the woman needs to be rescued, but she's not crying in a corner. She's right there in the action trying to help save herself as well.
Yeah, I like that, the fact that the women are strong. They're powerful women at the same time. They've been rescued, but they can stand their own two feet and challenge the guy too.
Yeah, like Corey, she's blind, and she got tired of, in Justice for Corey, she got tired of waiting to be rescued, so she rescued herself, and she's blind. Mm-hmm. Now, the boys still had to come along and kill the bad guys, but she rescued herself. So, that's the kind of thing I like to write. So, I love the damsel in distress, but not the weak damsel in distress. So,
I love it. I love your book. So I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you so much.
And I love that you're so prolific, that there's plenty of series to binge on. So tell us where you can find you online.
Oh, gosh, I'm everywhere. Pretty much if you go to Google and put in Susan Stoker, you'll probably find me. But I'm on Facebook. I have a profile. I have a page. And I have a reader group. So everyone can definitely join me there. Twitter, I'm not on Twitter that much, but, of course, I have a Twitter account. Goodreads, of course, Amazon, BookBub. I think I have a Pinterest. I'm never on there, though. You know, it gets to a point where there's just too much, and you kind of have to pick and choose. So, but I do have a newsletter, and all my books are in audio. So, just Google me somewhere, and you can find me. Shoot me a note. I have a contact page on my website at stokeraces.com, and I don't have an assistant that looks at my email. It's all me. So if you write me, I'll see your message, and I will most likely write you back. So, I love hearing from people. I love hearing that people enjoy my books, and that's the ultimate compliment, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem. I appreciate you inviting me and listening to me babble for a little bit.
Thank you, Susan, for a great interview. For show notes and books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/43. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. You'll be automatically entered into a $20 Amazon gift card giveaway. The winner will be announced September 4th. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.